Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning into our program today. You may know that Family Talk is a listener-supported program, and we remain on the air by your generosity, literally. If you can help us financially, we would certainly appreciate it. God's blessings to you all.
That's right, Dr. Dobson. And friend, thanks to generous listeners like you, Family Talk can reach more and more listeners with practical help and encouragement. To support Family Talk with your best gift, go online to drjamesdobson.org or call 877-732-6825.
Today on Family Talk.
In the book of Isaiah, the Lord promises to wash our darkest sins until they are white as snow. And in the same way, in the New Testament, Jesus commands us to forgive those who have wronged us. Sometimes, however, we do not extend that grace and mercy to ourselves. Today on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk, you will hear a classic conversation Dr. Dobson had with Pastor R.T. Kendall. They'll be discussing the freedom that comes from forgiving yourself for a sin or a past mistake. R.T. Kendall is a revered theologian and retired as pastor of Westminster Chapel after 25 years in 2002. He's also a popular speaker and authored over 50 books. On this broadcast, Dr. Kendall will explain how hard it is for Christians to forgive themselves and distinguish between genuine and fake guilt. With this being a classic conversation, be aware that Dr. Dobson's voice will sound a bit different, and you may hear some previous co-hosts respond as well, so keep that in mind as you're listening. Okay, with all that said, let's listen in now to the first part of their conversation right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
I said a minute ago that it may be more difficult to forgive yourself than to forgive others. Could that really be true? Somebody's been mean to you. Somebody has taken your money. Somebody's hurt your children. It's easier to forgive them for that than it is to look inward and say, I'm not going to hold myself accountable for that anymore.
That's absolutely the way it was with me. What led to this book, I received an unsolicited email from somebody. It turns out he's from California, who thanked me for my book, Total Forgiveness, but said, would you please, please, as soon as possible, write a book helping me to forgive myself? Well, I was sobered by that because I knew I hadn't dealt with that myself. And I thought, I can't write a book like that until I have done it. The first day I was in Oxford at the university, my supervisor gave me all kinds of advice. But I never will forget one thing he said. He said, don't forget your family. These years at Oxford will go by quickly. Don't forget your family. You won't get these years back. I reckoned that if I got the doctorate done, when I get back to America, then I'll have time for the family. But at the end of the 3 years, I'm waiting for my viva at Oxford, the oral exam. I'm invited to preach at Westminster Chapel. Before I know it, I've said, yes, I'll stay. I never will forget the day our son, T.R., we call him T.R., said, Daddy, you said we were going back to America, and we're still here. I couldn't look at him in the eye. 25 years later, on the eve of my departure, I was invited by the Billy Graham people to do a video for pastors, and they asked me questions like, what is it like for an American living in London? How do you prepare your sermons? What is your view of the Holy Spirit? And then they said, that's 59 minutes. We've got 1 minute to go. How shall we use that? Oh, tell us about your family. What is it like to be a father? I said, don't roll the tape here. You don't want this. Because on this, I have been a failure. I reckoned by putting my family first, that isn't what I was supposed to do because I had to put God first, the church first, sermon preparation first. I now believe had I put my family first, I would have preached just as well, maybe better, but I can't get those years back. So I said, don't do that. They did. It's the only part they used because they said it would help pastors. And so when I got the letter, say, help me to forgive myself, I thought, I've got to do this. And so God has helped me. And that is why I've written the book, to explain how it happened with me. what I had to do and how to help others to forgive themselves.
You know how common that mistake is of, you know, overlooking the needs of your own family. And as a pastor, you have every rationale to do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and there's all this work that needs to be done for the Lord, and you're having an impact, and you're being used by Him. And these kids are growing up around your feet, and you'll get to them someday, but someday never comes.
Well, that's exactly what it was with me. And that's what I had to do. And I can tell you, of all the books I've written, no book has changed my life like this one.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote this book for me.
For yourself.
I wrote it for me. And as it's turned out, to my amazement, people that have read it in England, it's
gone through the roof.
It's off the charts. It's off the charts. I had no idea it would have such a response. And it's starting to have it over here. It's just beginning to get out over here. And I realize now I've hit a hot button where it seems like every human being, Christians, they say, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself. And so I've written this book, How to Forgive Ourselves Totally, with the design, how you can do it.
You know, before we leave your illustration, I'd like to go back, and I'm sure you and I are in agreement on this, but there will be people who listen to what you just said when you indicated that you thought you should put God first and then the children second and your family down the line. Really, the best way to serve God is by leading your own children to Christ. Those are not in conflict.
I had it wrong. I now believe putting my family first would have been putting God first.
Yes.
That's what I believe. Thank you for putting it like that, Jim. I wish I could turn the clock back and start all over again. And yet, because I can't, I had to forgive myself, and I've done it. I'm a transformed man. It's fantastic to know that God does it.
And there's freedom in that.
Oh, let the past be past. And I would say to anybody, God wants you to forgive yourself. This is what God wants you to do.
You know, my father was a minister, as you well know, and so I've grown up in a parsonage and in the home of an evangelist. And so I've been in and of the church all my life. And I have observed that not only did many ministers and pastors of the past make the mistake you're talking about, but they thought it was godly to do so.
Yeah.
There was the belief, even when I was young, that if you served the Lord, He was obligated to make up for what you didn't do at home. Mm. And unfortunately, it doesn't work. I wish it did, but it doesn't work that way.
Exactly.
Well, let's talk about the concept of forgiving yourself. How in the world do you start to do that when there is something down there that you can't get rid of? You wish you could live it over. You wish you could have straightened out the mistakes that you made. You wish that you had not, when you were young, gotten on to drugs or whatever it was. How do you do business with that?
Well, in my case, in my book, I've given 10 reasons why you should do it. And reason number one is what God wants you to do. And the funny thing is, even though I'm known to be a theologian, this was the weak spot in me. I needed to see that God really wanted me to do it. It seemed too good to be true. All those years that I couldn't get back, that I could in one stroke just forgive myself just like that, and God says, yes, this is why my son died on the cross. Now, this is ABC. I should have known this, and I did know it. But for me to take that on board and to know that God is saying, it's okay, let the past be past and leave it to me and watch what I do.
Yeah, what you've said in this book that is unique for me is that God not only invites you to forgive yourself, but He commands you to in the same way that He wants you to forgive others.
Absolutely. It is a command. It's a mandate. We don't even have a choice. But this is something that had passed by me over the years, I'm ashamed to say. But it's transformed me. And I'm 72 years old. And if God can teach me something like this at this age, It ought to encourage others, and don't make the mistake I made. Understand right now, this is what God wants you to do. And the blood of Jesus so satisfies His justice. He's not looking for more from me. His blood has done it.
Huh. Well, what scriptural references do you draw on to come to that conclusion that God insists that we forgive ourselves?
Well, many. Take, for example, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, it's implied that we're going to love ourselves, but not forgiving yourself is the opposite. It is hating yourself, and it's a violation of a very elementary principle. And so the proof that we love ourselves is that we accept what God says for us to do. And this is why His Son died. There are two theological words, expiation, propitiation. Expiation is what the blood does for us, atones for our sins. Propitiation, what the blood does for God, satisfies His justice. So He's not looking to you and me for more satisfaction. The blood has done it. And when I saw that, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, that He who knew no sin was made sin, then it was done. And I had a breakthrough like I had never had, even though I knew all this. I hadn't applied it in that manner to my own life, and it set me free.
You mentioned a few minutes ago how the book has been received in the UK. You were a pastor, as we indicated, a senior pastor of Westminster Chapel for 25 years. Being a senior pastor means a lot of counseling. It means listening to many people struggle spiritually and with their private lives. Did you hear often the fact that your parishioners, the people in your church, were struggling with internal guilt that they couldn't seem to conquer?
All the time. It's the most common thing. You see, as Christians, we're not supposed to feel guilty. We know better, and yet we are feeling guilty. And so I have a whole chapter on the subject of pseudo-guilt, which is false guilt, comes from the Greek word pseudos, that means lie. It is guilt that God didn't put there, and it's what Satan exploits. And then I've got a whole chapter on true guilt, which is sin. So although I had people come to me and say, I know God forgives me, but I can't forgive myself, I think I was deficient in really being able to help them.
Hmm.
I blush to say it to you today, Jim, but I'm trying to make up for it now.
You know, I have done a lot of counseling of my own, and I knew a family where the mother was so dedicated to her children, she would have literally laid down her life for her kids, and she had a little three-year-old, and they had a little routine every morning where they would go get the mail, and they lived back from the road, so they would walk together out to this busy highway, and then the three-year-old would wait, the mother would catch up, and they would cross together, get the mail, and come back. On this occasion, the little boy ran ahead, and she was thinking about something else. And he waited at the road, and then he turned around and said, "Is it all right, Mommy?" And she said, "Yes." And he ran out in front of a truck and was killed. And she scooped that baby up into her arms. And you can imagine she is going to deal with guilt for the rest of her life. I mean, she will never get away from it unless God does a miracle. And yet, that is not divine guilt. That is not guilt that comes from God. It's completely separate from willful disobedience.
No, that is guilt God didn't put there. And I've written the book to help people to see, if God did not put that guilt there, reject it. Because it is Satan who doesn't want you to forgive yourself. The devil wants you to be in bondage and to feel all the worse. And so you can be sure of it. The devil will exploit things like that. I need to add that if people ask, in my case, my neglecting the children, was it pseudo-guilt that I feel or true guilt? The answer, it was true guilt.
Hmm.
I did let them down.
Wait a minute. Was God telling you were doing the wrong thing? Did you... Did you feel condemned by God while you were doing it, or just later?
Okay, later. Although at the time, I didn't feel right, but I would rationalize. I think I've got, you know, to be at my best in the pulpit Sunday. And these sermons
and
are going to
that's not
be...
all bad.
Well, okay, I accept that. But I can tell you now, if I could do it over again, I think I'd have preached better had I put the children first. But in retrospect, I look and see that I did let God down. It was true guilt, and I've confessed it, and I'm forgiven, and I've confessed it to my children, and they've forgiven me, and we're closer than ever. And God has restored, or is restoring, the years which the locusts have eaten.
R.T., let me ask you a theological question. You know I'm not a theologian, and you are. I may have a different perspective from you on one aspect of this. I think in the book you said at one point that God doesn't want you to feel guilty. Yet I think of Peter after he had denied Christ, and he went out and wept bitterly. He was devastated with guilt, which brought repentance. So that kind of guilt is productive, is it not?
We're together on this. Of course, God wants us to feel guilty when it's true guilt.
That's right.
He doesn't want us to feel guilty when it's false guilt. The irony is, pseudo-guilt is very real. We call it false guilt, but it's very real. We don't call it pseudo-guilt because it's not real, but because it's not true.
Yes.
True guilt is what Peter had. Here's another irony. People will be all exercised about pseudo-guilt. True guilt doesn't seem to bother them. Uh-huh. What ought to bother them doesn't. What shouldn't bother them does.
Yes.
And so, so Peter, of course, he had sinned against the Lord by denying the Lord. And God does want us to feel guilty when we've sinned against him.
In
Absolutely.
Fact, we have the divine capacity to feel condemnation. There's a conscience that's God designed, isn't it?
But we will not come to ourselves until the Holy Spirit arrests us and makes us see it for ourselves. And that is why pseudo-guilt you can feel without the work of the Holy Spirit. True guilt you don't feel unless the Spirit comes alongside to show you.
We are talking to Dr. R.T. Kendall, who's the author of the new book, How to Forgive Ourselves Totally. And it is a sequel to Total Forgiveness, and a subject that interests me a great deal as a psychologist, because there is also pathological guilt. There is that which you see in a hospital for the mentally ill, who are often broken with guilt. They cry all the time. To see that occur would break your heart. But it's not from God. It's not, something that results from divine condemnation. Let's go back to the mother that I talked about who accidentally gave permission to the child to cross the road at the wrong time. How would you advise her to begin forgiving herself?
I would do my best to help her to see that the guilt she feels is not guilt God put there. This is guilt that is put there by herself. Mm. It is the most natural feeling in the world. My heart would go out to her. I would weep with her. My heart aches with her. But I'd want her to see that God does not hold her responsible for this. Therefore, she should not beat herself black and blue for this the rest of her life, that God is saying, I don't hold yourself responsible for this, so you
shouldn't either.
You should not hold yourself responsible for it. I would do my best to help her to see that. I don't think you could do it in 5 minutes. I think
is that kind of release from guilt something God does for you or something that you're commanded to do for yourself?
Until you see it for yourself, it's not going to happen. The breakthrough will come not because another person tells you must, but because the person sees for himself, this is something God wants you to do, and the guilt you are feeling is something the devil will exploit. It's not God at all. And if you can get the person to see that it honors God, that you don't let this guilt drive you to this despair, then the person, if they have a love for Jesus, will want to stop it and get over it completely. And I don't think you could have a lot of success with a person who's not a Christian. They would need to know that God loves them, that Jesus died for them, and for that reason, they need to get over it to give honor to Him. And that would be the way I would want to deal with a person like that.
Give us some other examples of this kind of self-condemnation that God wants you to get rid of. What have you heard through the years?
Sometimes it's small things where you feel guilty that you haven't seen an old friend for a while. And I had a friend who says, "You never come to see me anymore." So I go to see him, and I spend an hour or more. And then I say, "Well, it's been great to see you." And then he says, "Leaving so soon." Now I feel worse for having gone. Or I'll tell you something you may laugh about. A deacon at Westminster Chapel gave me a new boat for my bone fishing. I sit there writing books and see that boat out there, and I'm feeling guilty. I'm not in that boat that was given to me by a deacon, but I'm so busy with emails and getting my schedule of writing books, now I feel guilty if I'm not fishing. And then if I go fishing, I feel guilty that I'm not writing a book. And so either way, I'm feeling guilty, but that is a clear case of pseudo-guilt. I condemn myself, and it's not guilt that God has put there. And what has helped me is to see that God does not want me to be driven by guilt that He is not the author of.
Yes,
it dishonors Him when I let it bother me.
And then that raises the entire other category of guilt. When you have gossiped about somebody and really wounded them and hurt them, and you know that they've never quite been the same because of what you did. Or cheating on income tax. Nobody's ever going to know that. You're probably not going to get audited. Yeah. And you can just cheat the government and feel like, well, they waste the money anyway. But down inside, you know. That's true guilt.
And the Holy Spirit will convict a person of that. And the person who's not convicted is living, you know, a lie and refusing to come to terms with sin and what is dishonoring to God. And by the way, in my book, How to Forgive Ourselves Totally, there's a section on restitution. There comes a time when you do go to the person and say, "I am so sorry."
R.T., we're out of time, and I'd like to start with that very issue next time. That was a wonderful segue, a promotion for the next broadcast, because I want to talk about that. We don't hear much about restitution anymore. When I was young, I heard about it a lot, and I don't know if people still realize there is a responsibility sometimes not to try to earn your salvation, but to do what you can to rectify what you did wrong. Let's talk about that next time. As you just said, the title of the book is How to Forgive Ourselves Totally. Begin again by breaking free. And there is freedom in following this advice, right?
Exactly.
And Dr. R.T. Kendall, great friend of mine, the author of 49 books, soon to be 50, and we will pick up with this one next time.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson and an interview Dr. Dobson conducted with Dr. R.T. Kendall. Go to today's broadcast page at drjamesdobson.org to learn more about Dr. Kendall's ministry or how to purchase the book mentioned on the program today, How to Forgive Ourselves Totally. You can also look for more information on any of his other popular books there as well. That's drjamesdobson.org, and then click onto the broadcast page. While you're online, we also urge you to get onto your Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram accounts, or all three if you have them, and get plugged in with us by searching for Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk on those platforms. Once you're there, you can read Dr. Dobson's newest newsletter, listen to our latest broadcasts, scroll through our encouraging pictures, or watch any of our informative videos. Our social media pages are full of godly content, and we can't wait for you to get your hands on this. So the next time you're on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, type in Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk into the search bar, and then like and follow our pages there. Another quick reminder as we close today's broadcast, you can now listen to Dr. Dobson and Family Talk on your Amazon Alexa. It's a simple and efficient way to keep up on our latest programs. To learn how to get started with your Amazon Alexa, go to drjamesdobson.org/Alexa. I'm Roger Marsh, and we greatly appreciate you tuning into this broadcast and also encourage you to come back again tomorrow to hear the remainder of Dr. Dobson's conversation with Dr. R.T. Kendall, the topic, Forgiving Ourselves. It's a great discussion that you won't want to miss, so join us again next time right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.
Hi, this is Dr. Tim Clinton. Thanks for listening to Family Talk. If you're hurting, you got troubles in your life, going through deep waters, we'd like to talk with you. You can call us toll-free right now, 877-732-6825. That number again, toll-free, 877-732-6825. Or reach us from our website at drjamesdobson.org. We're here to help you.